Welcome to Spiritually Naked, where physical and non-physical worlds collide, offering a refreshing concoction of optimism and realism. It's time to strip down the barriers of limiting beliefs, to master the art of manifestation and synchronized living. Everything you need to live an inspired, awakened life is within your grasp. Start creating the life you desire today with Spiritually Naked as your guide to simplifying complicated issues for real life change. Now here are your hosts, Steve and Stephanie Banks.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us tonight on Spiritually Naked. I'm your host, Stephen Banks, and I'm here with my partner and co-host, Stephanie Banks, who in the second portion of our program will channel for us a collective consciousness named Solomon. Joining us tonight, we have with us Jennifer Elizabeth Masters, and she is an author of 3 books, a hypnotherapist, energy healer, and coach. She has a blog with over 900 free articles called Love Yourself Fearlessly. She helps women and men to achieve happiness as their cornerstone for a long and healthy life. In a world where millions are depressed and on medication, Jennifer has written a guidebook to help anyone find happiness anywhere. Welcome to the show, Jennifer. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here.
Awesome. So speaking of happiness, you're essentially a happiness coach. Is that what it is that you're doing?
Well, I consider myself a love coach because the foundation for happiness is self-love. When loving ourselves is fundamental, it sounds like everybody would do it, but unfortunately, we're in a world where so many people actually hate themselves and they're not aware. So I would call myself a love coach, and that love leads to happiness.
Absolutely, it does. And there are, I agree, so many of us that don't realize it, even myself. You know, I'll be hard on myself at times and know I don't hate myself. But, you know, we're often hard on ourselves, and we need to remember that self-love and that self-forgiveness and that, you know, and just really allow ourselves to express and feel authentically and just learn from what we're experiencing.
So do you find that it's getting that the people that are coming to you are have sort of a similar underlying theme of why they're feeling that self-loathing or that instability within themselves, or is it different all over the map?
Well, I guess it is really basically the same, you know, that they've had trauma of some sort in their childhood and they're still dealing with it. You know, for example, I'm working with a woman who's healing breast cancer naturally without chemo, without surgery, without radiation. And the way she's done it is through diet and working with me as a coach. And one of the key ingredients is, especially with women, is to have a loving relationship with their mother. And most of us have had challenges with our mothers. But when we can be loving with our mom and non-judgmental, then we tend to be much more compassionate to ourselves as well. But that is a common theme, is issues with mom. Hmm. So, and lots of trauma.
So just out of curiosity, why do you say women especially?
Well, because our mother is a woman, and if we hate our mothers, we end up hating ourselves.
Would that not be the same if you were a male, or is it just to a lesser degree, or is that perhaps the same with son to father?
Yeah, I would say it's more with son to father.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you're more relatable?
Well, true. Yeah, same sex. And I feel that women, one of the big things with women is, you know, this wanting to please, wanting to make our mothers happy, wanting our mothers to validate us, wanting our mothers to be proud of us. And of course, now that goes for men too. You know, looking for validation outside of ourselves. And, you know, what we have to come to terms with is that we have to validate ourselves. We can't expect anyone else to.
Right.
And our parents may not have praised us when we were children, but as adults, we have to be the ones that praise us. Instead, most of us have a magnifying glass in one hand, we look at all the things that we do wrong or bad or incomplete, and then we beat ourselves up with a baseball bat with our words.
Right. And so when you say trauma, that I guess really what that could mean is not necessarily those big, huge events in your life that you remember so vividly that were hurtful and painful, but it could be accumulation of all the smaller things that happen along the way as well.
Well, absolutely. Trauma could be that you had a critical parent, that whatever you did was never enough, never good enough. Trauma could be that, you know, you were kissing a boy and your mom slapped you across the face. Mm-hmm. That is traumatic. So the trauma doesn't have to be sexual trauma, molestation, or emotional abuse per se. You could have had, you know, functioning parents, but the trauma is still trauma for you.
And do you take the approach of taking those experiences and transforming them into something positive so that growth can occur? Or like, what would be sort of a general approach?
Well, part of it is forgiving yourself for picking the parents that you have.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
That is a really big place, because, see, that takes responsibility. Instead of blame, I have a brother who's in his 70s, and he still blames my mother for his unhappiness. Mm-hmm. And when you shift from blaming to taking responsibility and say, well, I picked them, because most of our lives we hear, well, you can't pick your family, but guess what? We did.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So for you then, was there a big shift in your life that led you to this realization? Did you suffer some sort of trauma that you managed to come out of?
Yes. As a matter of fact, in my book, I refer to it as the trifecta. Stress in our family, having an alcoholic parent, having a parent that has a borderline personality, having critical parents, having sexual molestation, let's see what else. I had all of that. And for a long time, into my 40s, I was still blaming my parents. And I tried traditional therapy. I saw a psychologist, psychiatrist. I did all that. And when I realized, and I was in my 40s, and I realized that my thoughts were actually killing me, literally killing me. I had fibromyalgia. I was depressed. I had anxiety. I had an autoimmune disease. When I realized that, I read Louise Hay's book, you know, You Can Heal Your Life. That book was a turning point for me, as was Prescription for Nutritional Healing by Drs. Balk and Balk. Excellent, excellent books, both of those. I shifted and took responsibility for myself, my life, the fact that I was a victim. And that's when I wrote Odyssey, Victim to Victory, because I overcame being a victim and turned all that around and realized all the stuff that's happened. And everybody has a hard childhood in some way. And we have to realize that that was just the little nudge that we needed for us to grow, for us to evolve, for us to heal.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think, you know, the thing that I agree with the most is the idea of taking responsibility. And I'm working with a young girl right now who's coming out of the throes of being a drug addict, and she's been in one bad relationship after another, and just really working with her on her language and the way she's looking at things, and, you know, trying to bring awareness to her so that when she's on her own having these thoughts and these conversations within her own head, to step away from that idea of so-and-so did this to me, so-and-so did that to me. And I've already noticed a shift in her just by having conversations with her, where she's becoming more aware of, actually, no, I did that. I chose to be in that situation, or I chose to allow somebody to treat me that way. So I think that's a huge point that you're making.
Well, the other thing that, as a hypnotherapist, I recognize how our conscious mind programs our unconscious mind. And the way I like to kind of paint the picture is, our conscious mind is like the rudder for our unconscious mind. And when we just let our thoughts go willy-nilly, whatever you want to call it, if you just let them go undirected, then what happens is our unconscious mind runs away with all that negativity. And when we realize that our thoughts and our words are what actually govern and create our life, and then you can start creating your life in positive and loving ways. And instead of saying, well, you know, I made this huge mistake, how could I do this better? Asking questions, and then the universe steps in and helps us get to that better place. But when we make a directive, oh, my life is crap, then your unconscious mind goes, yeah, it is, and I'll show you more of that.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. This is so, it's so in the forefront of my life right now, this basic principle of thoughts and belief systems. And you're right, our thoughts literally do kill us. Our physical bodies and our manifestations in the physical world are representation of those.
Well, I think you're right, but I think taking it one step a little bit deeper is, it's the understanding of where the thought's coming from. And what has caused that, the belief system that is creating that thought from the subconscious, in other words, the habitual patterns that you've been programmed into your subconscious, and then how that thought translates into a feeling that then translates into an action that then translates into an outcome.
Right. And I understand what you're saying. And it's funny because the whole thought belief, it's like the chicken and the egg. So did our thoughts create our belief, or do our belief generate our thoughts? I'm not sure.
Well, belief is another whole story, because some of our beliefs come from our parents. Some of our beliefs come from our teachers. And some of our beliefs could come from our siblings. So that's part of what I do, is that I clear the beliefs. And then here's the other thing. I'm single. And one of the things that I help people do is recognize how our beliefs can keep us from having love. Well, I was extremely codependent, and I healed all that when I had this big metamorphosis and awakening, and I became the other extreme, fiercely independent. What I didn't realize is that I had this unconscious mantra going on. I am great alone. I don't need a man. You know, I'm fine alone. I don't need a man. Well, you cannot attract love when your unconscious is going, I don't need a man, or I don't need a woman. And so realizing that that was my belief system, I've cleared that. And it's interesting. As soon as I said, okay, it would be really nice, universe, to have a man in my life, I had one show up.
Right. And it's the fine tuning, the balancing act that I think we have problems with as human beings, because we're so extreme. We go from one extreme to the other. And from everything that I'm learning, it's about finding equilibrium and finding that happy medium in the middle, where you're just okay, really, with all, like, anything, so that you're open to anything.
Yes.
Open to everything and attached to nothing, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Attached to nothing. That's true.
So Jennifer, this is essentially then what you're doing, is helping people to understand and change their subconscious beliefs?
Yes.
Through hypnosis and other means?
Well, you know, I use hypnosis kind of as a last resort. I will use hypnosis, but I have a lot of different tools in my tool basket that I can use for people. NLP, you know, neuro-linguistic programming, is one of them. That's one. But I do energy clearing as well. But we also do, the cognitive therapy. Become aware of what it is you're thinking, saying, and doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the starting point for sure. So how are you bringing this to people's attention so that they focus on that within their own lives? Because essentially that's the work they have to do.
Right. Well, when people are in a session with me, they'll be talking, for example, I'll use the lady I was talking about with the breast cancer. her deal was perfectionism and making everybody else happy, taking care of everyone else. And see, that's the source of breast cancer, is the inability to nurture oneself. And when we are nurturing and taking care of everybody else, who are we not nurturing? So when she's in session with me, for example, she'll be talking about this person and that person, and they need to be doing that. And I will just, in the middle of her sentence, I'll draw her in and hear what you are saying. Who are you focusing on? How can you love you when you're focusing all your attention on everybody but you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true.
And essentially, the bottom line is that whether we're partnered or single, the truth is that our journey in this life is alone.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
The journey with the self is paramount.
Right. And you can do that obviously while being in a relationship, or, you know, we're all in multiple relationships at any given time. But the key is, and what we've been teaching and promoting for the last almost 5 years now is, if I was to break it all down into sort of a nutshell of one sentence, it's developing some sort of practice that is incorporating nurturing your own soul.
And
it's paramount. It's without that, how do you get to know yourself otherwise, right?
Well, right. And there's so many ways to nurture your soul. For example, I used to have a gym membership, and I'd go to the gym, but I hated it. And when I finally took a Zumba class, I found myself smiling ear to ear for the whole hour. And I took it a step further. I started dancing. I have dogs and I walk outside twice a day, every day. And I crank up the music and I dance in the desert while I'm walking my dogs. And that is another way, you know, if dance is something that makes you happy, do it. Dance every day, because what it does is not only are you playing music that you love, but your body's moving. And we are mind, body, spirit. We have to be moving the body, mm-hmm. you know, to really be happy and healthy.
Yeah, I agree. It's a celebration in a sense, a celebration of self, you know, like your celebration of life when you're dancing.
Well, and if something sits still for too long, it becomes stagnant. And when something becomes stagnant, it grows mildew and mold and all sorts of crap.
So I wanted to ask you, Jennifer. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna add to that, and sometimes it starts to rot and not smell very good.
Exactly. Rotten souls become rotten bodies. Rotten bodies become diseased bodies. And I mean, it sounds kind of, you know, like we're joking around, and we are, because I like to sort of make light of things, but that's really the sequence of events. And when people come to me for energy work, it's amazing how many people are really not aware of their energetic body. And we spend a lot of time, most of us anyway, spend a lot of time on our physical bodies, taking care of our dietary needs and getting enough physical exercise and that kind of thing. But if you're not taking care of your energetic body, you're in your mental body, which to me is energetic, you're starting on the wrong level. Do you agree?
Well, I would say start somewhere, you know, start somewhere.
Yeah, I think the thoughts is a good spot.
Right, because for some people, maybe the energy thing is new to them. So, you know, just begin, you know, begin in the way that feels the most comfortable and the easiest, and do that and start to feel better. And absolutely, we have to focus on the mind, body, spirit. And the energy is absolutely important, you know, but for some people that sounds and feels a little foreign. Mm-hmm. But yes, we are mind, body, spirit. We are energy. We are definitely energy. And doing things that make us feel good is, you know, I'm not talking about alcohol and drugs, but I'm talking about other things like singing, dancing, and certainly chanting. I meditate several times a day, and I do mantras, and that's one of the things that I use to help people program their unconscious mind. because the mantra can slip into the unconscious mind if you do it enough and at the right time.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good starting point for sure. And just finding the things that, like you say, that you're passionate about, and then not feeling guilty about it either. Like, you know, last night it snowed unexpectedly here, and what we woke up to 30 centimeters of snow, and I, you know, had appointments this morning. I'm supposed to go to work, but all I could think about was snowboarding. So I canceled those appointments, and for about 15 minutes felt guilty that other people were going into work today to my company and I wasn't. And then, you know, I really had to restructure my mindset and remind myself that I work a lot and that I need to do this, and went out and had 2 hours of bliss and came back and then was that much more productive.
Yeah. One good turn and you stop thinking about all of that.
Guilt, shame, and regret are three of the lowest vibrational emotions that we can have.
Hmm. And probably very, very common.
Oh, yes. Yes.
When you're working with people who are suffering from depression, do you use the same kind of treatment in terms of trying to make them aware of their own self-awareness?
People with depression typically have anger stuffed, emotions that are trapped. And so we usually talk a lot about what they're angry and upset about. So, clearing trapped emotions is part of it. And then giving them healthy ways to release anger, because, you know, a lot of us were taught, you know, when we started to cry, shut up or we'll give you something to cry about. And if we perish the thought, we should exhibit anger. I don't know if you were allowed to exhibit anger, but I sure wasn't. The only people that could be angry in my household were my parents. And so when you learn to stuff emotions, they become stagnant and they cause these disease and depression. And so that's usually where I start, is releasing a lot of that trapped stuff. And then I give them exercises to do on their own.
Mm-hmm. Right. And are those exercises, I'm just curious, are they related around discovering and then kind of allowing them to express it in a safe manner? Or is it more just a matter of understanding the anger and forgiveness?
Oh no, it's way more than understanding. One of the things that I will do with clients is, you know, when I'm in Colorado, I'll take them up a mountain and we stomp our feet and you know, have a temper tantrum and then scream and cathartic screaming until they have no voice or until they start crying. And you know, I've had people in sessions, couples, where they had some real serious issues between them. And this, you know, they have such a cathartic release, you know, that, you know, they may end up, you know, where they're drooling on themselves, crying, you know, just, you know, it's all coming out because it's been held down for so long. So, you know, a good cry is a great way to release anger. You know, yelling, screaming, punching a pillow, hitting baseballs, you know, taking, going in onto a racket court and, you know, if there's an indoor one in the winter, hitting a ball, you know, really doing something physical to get out that anger as well as the energy release. And then of course we talk about how can you express what you're feeling in the moment. Because that's the thing that a lot of people have problems with. Their voice is mute, you know, because they've been suppressed, because, you know, their parental units have kept them from speaking their truth. So learning how to say what you're feeling in the moment takes practice. And so that's something that we work on.
So is it a good idea then to let your 14-year-old tell you to F off when they're angry?
It's not the best way of expression, but...
Well, it makes me think.
Well, you know, I've had my daughter tell me, you know, she's told me to shut the fuck up, really. So, pardon me if I said that on the air.
You did. I just said the F word. You actually said it.
I said it. Well, it does feel good to say it, I have to say. Yeah, I mean, that can be disrespectful when the child is 14, but at the same time, allowing a child to be able to express themselves it's important, but with respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the delicate balance, because I agree with you. The expression, nothing can be released without expression. So if you don't express mm-hmm. it, it gets buried. And if it gets buried, it becomes all kinds of dark energy, or potentially can. But we're out of time for this portion of the program, Jennifer. That was a fun conversation. Would you like to let our listeners know where they can find you and your book?
Well, certainly. My book, Happy Anywhere, The Guide for Overcoming Anxiety, Depression, and Unhappiness Without a Pill, is going to be on my brand new website, which will be coming out in probably about 3 weeks. You can reach it at jenniferelizabethmasters.com. The book will be available on Amazon as well. And you can also find me on my blog, Love Yourself Fearlessly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for that interview. It was a fun conversation. Everyone out there, stay tuned, and we'll be back with Jennifer and Solomon.
It is a pleasure to be here with you in this time, in the space of your current reality, that is human beings on earth at this time in your lives. We come to you with a mutual understanding of love and respect for one another. For as we are aiding and supporting you on your journeys, you are aiding and supporting us on our journeys. So we thank you for this opportunity to communicate with you. We thank you for your trust in us as you realize the significance of these exchanges. As the world continues to move more in the general direction of happiness, as you say, you will find that these interactions become more and more apparent and more prominent in your life. More of you will become accustomed to receiving messages of this sort from your friends on the other side. And we look forward to the increase in knowing, the increase in wisdom that you will gain from this interaction. We would like to offer you this opportunity to put forth any questions and queries that you may have. And we will do our best to appease your curiosities.
This is going to sound like a mundane question, but I have been turning my house upside down. This is my place to start, looking for my birth certificate, and I can't find it. Could you help me locate it?
We are helping you locate it. You simply need to follow your own intuitive guidance toward it. We cannot tell you specifically where to look, where to search. We cannot lead you in the specific direction that you are asking. This is part of your growth, part of your learning process to become more in tune and in touch with your own innate skills that will lead you to your desired destination, regardless of what it is that you are looking for. You are fine-tuning your intuitive skills. You are fine-tuning your ability to listen solely to your heart's desires, yes? You specifically yes. chose to lose this item for this purpose. Therefore, if we were to lead you to the end, we would be diminishing your ability to tune into that which you are seeking. In other words, we would be overriding your purpose. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does.
We do not like to spoil the surprise. We do not like to crash the party.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. So from there, I have a coaching practice, and I asked at the beginning of this year to be out in the world in a bigger way, to be able to reach more people, to help more people. And my concern is, am I trying to reach too broad an audience? Do I need to narrow down who I'm speaking to?
Not necessarily. Again, this is you understanding your own innate self that is guiding you in the direction that you would prefer to go. We would suggest first off by understanding the difference between asking and allowing yourself to hear your own guidance. In other words, it is not necessarily the idea of asking the universe or your guides or yourself for anything in particular. It is about understanding the idea of being in the feeling state of that which you desire. In other words, by asking and asking and asking and asking for something doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to receive that thing. By asking so insistently upon something, you are amplifying the idea of not having it within your realm, within your perspective, within your reach. Yes?
Yes.
So that is the underlying lesson in this particular conversation. It will take it into a more realistic sense, let's say, in regards to reaching a smaller, reaching a larger audience. This is for you to determine. If you feel more comfortable in a smaller setting, then we would say go into a bigger setting. Stepping outside of your boundaries, outside of your limitations where you feel safe. Moving into something a little bit more challenging. Moving into the idea of nervousness. Moving into the idea of challenging those fears that bring you back into the mindset of perhaps I should stay smaller. Yes? So this is for you to determine. Are you thinking about scaling back because this is where you're more comfortable? Or are you thinking about scaling back because you feel that you would be more of service to those around you, including yourself, by working within smaller groups? You will be the judge of this.
Yeah, I'm not saying smaller groups, but I guess what I'm saying is, like, right now, I'm doing, you know, spirituality. I'm talking about dating. I talk about sex, happiness, love. All of those things, of course, are aspects of life. And I'm wondering, not that I want to scale back, you know, to fewer people. That's not what I'm saying. But the niche that I'm working in, is it better for me to narrow it down and just stay with love and happiness versus happiness, dating, relationships, and love?
Generally speaking, people will be able to relate to specifics underneath those umbrellas, yes?
Yes.
So we would suggest, again, following what feels right to you, with the understanding that people have a better ability to tune into something when they have something more specific in front of them. So all of the topics that you are putting forth fall underneath the umbrella of love and happiness. So we feel that you would be more passionate if you were to break down those ideas into specific topics for people to be able to relate to through their own personal experiences. Yes?
Okay. Thank you.
Does this help?
Yes. Yes. A lot. Thank you. Oh, I was told by another channel that my hands are very powerful and that I'm to begin doing touch healing. Hands-on healing. And I guess I have a question as to whether there's some way to amp that up more than just believing that I can do it and knowing that I'm the channel for this healing, that it's not me per se, but I'm just wondering, is there some way I can activate it or speed up the process?
The first distinction that we feel prudent to make is that there are many ways of touching somebody without necessarily touching them physically. In other words, yes, there is the idea of touching physically for the idea of amplifying the energetic flow that will then amplify the healing within the energetic and the physical body. But this does not necessarily have to happen from a physical touch level, from a physical touch perspective. This is a limitation of being a human being. Yes? This kind of tapping into a individual from a soul level for the purpose and the intent of healing can be activated from a hands-off perspective just as well and just as effectively as by touching that individual. Yet, that being said, there are those that prefer the feeling of hands-on. So from a human level, there are those that would feel more comfortable, more in attunement, more in alignment with the facilitator of the healing if they were to feel a touch of some sort, physical contact. Now, in terms of increasing and amplifying the energetic flow, this simply comes from your intent to do so. In all circumstances, regardless of what we are talking about, we suggest asking. Literally asking your higher self, your connection to source creation, to bring forth through you, through your feeling of knowing that you are connected to this source, to this energetic vibration that you are tapping into, that you are tapped into, that you are feeling that energetic flow to the degree that you would like it to. And you will begin to feel it run through your own system and into the system of that person that you are working with to the point where you can literally turn it on and off like a tap. Following your intuitive self to guide you in terms of how much flow you would like to feel while working in specific areas of the body. Yes? Is this making sense?
Beautifully. Thank you. Yes. That was very helpful.
It all stems from your intent. It all stems from your conversation. We use the word ask because this is the word that you understand. But we, again, come back to the idea, it is not so much the asking of, it is the allowing of the movement of energetic flow through you into the individual you are working with the sole intent, for that energy to move in the best desired direction that it is needed to increase the healing of the individual that you are working on. Now, for that to be facilitated to the degree of finding healing, the individual that you were working with must be in accordance with the understanding that they are facilitating the healing themselves. You are merely a conduit, the ability, the mediator for them to tap into their own healing. Yes?
In other words, they have to be allowing of that energy to enter their body to do the healing.
Yes, to the degree of finding the healing that they are searching for, that they are coming to you for. There will be a certain degree of healing regardless, because on a deeper level of understanding, they may be in the allowing state, the receptive state of that energy to flow exactly to the degree that they need it to, where it needs to flow to in order to find healing, but to amplify their healing, for them to be operating from a conscious level of awareness that they too are connected to this source, to this energetic vibration, to this divine aspect of who they are. Not just you, the facilitator, but they are too. For you to have that conversation with them prior to the healing session itself, to get an understanding of where they sit at that table in terms of how they understand their own connection, you will find a greater degree of success with that conversation happening prior to the healing session itself, per se. It becomes part of the healing session, but to differentiate the conversation from the hands-on or hands-off working with the energetic field. Does this make sense?
Yes. Yes, thank you. Yes, I am doing something currently, but what you just gave me about, you know, connecting to source energy, my high self, and allowing that to be amplified. That was very helpful. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oftentimes, a component that is missing in terms of healing, the healing arts, let's say, is the prerequisite of bringing awareness to the individual you are working with. Bringing awareness to their own divinity, to their own creative potential, to their own imagination. It takes imagination and creativity to stir the healing that is required. Does this make sense?
Yes.
It's thinking outside the box of conventional medicine, where you need to go into surgery to have your gallbladder fixed. Yes. No, it runs far deeper than that. It runs into a level of understanding that it takes creative imagination to stir the healing, to stir the movement within the energetic field that will then allow the healing to happen. We don't understand, we don't know if we're getting this point across as accurately as we could based on the constraints of language. Are you understanding what we're trying to put forth?
I believe so. I was going to suggest that perhaps the person could envision, if they could envision the picture of health and the issue being gone, how that would feel in their body.
Yes, precisely. Starting with that conversation, bringing them into the place of understanding what it feels like to be in wholeness, to not be in pain, to not be limited by disease or distress or physical pain that prevents them from enjoying their life fully. What does that feel like to them? What would they be doing in their life on a regular daily basis if that pain, if that disease wasn't present in their physical body? And then specifically, asking them to research the parts of their body that they're having issues with, understanding the functioning aspect of that physical part of their body. The more awareness you have around anything, the greater the chance of success. In other words, understanding how the human heart works, what it looks like, how big it is, how heavy it is. What does it look like when it's healthy? What does it look like when it's not healthy? Being able to envision the healthy heart pumping the blood the way it is meant to, with a healthy rhythm. Does this make sense?
Yes, that was beautiful. Perfect. Thank you. It's exactly what I needed. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
May I ask a question about my book that is about to be launched?
Yes.
Okay. So I am writing this book from my own perspective with scientific research and studies, et cetera. Not that I've done, but that, you know, that I found to support some of what I'm saying. I want to be sure that I am including everything that I need to include. And I'm just wondering, is there anything in particular that I need to focus on while I'm, you know, finalizing or editing that I make sure is in this book?
Again, every step in life is leading you to the point where you are now. In other words, there is always more information. There is always another direction to take. There is always a deeper level of understanding. There will be more books. You don't necessarily need to get it all into this one. As you edit, as you refine, as you meditate, as you go for your walks in the desert, as you contemplate, as you feel the experience of this book as it is now, that if something is missing, that which may or may not be missing will come into your awareness, and you will then follow that lead. Yes? Is this not how the book transpired in the first place?
That's exactly how it transpired. Yes.
So yeah. It will also at some point find an end. You can't go on forever and forever and forever without a book, or you would not accomplish the idea of finishing a book. There is the idea of finishing something, knowing that it may not be completely finished, but another one can be started. It is continual. This is a continual process. Yes?
Yes. I mean, that is the thing about writing a book, is that you want everything to be in it, and it's like a baby. You kind of hold it without releasing it, thinking, well, is everything in it that I want to be in it? And you're absolutely right that there will be more books. Thank you.
With the attention span of the society you're living in currently, we would suggest smaller books and lots of them.
Okay. That's a really good idea. Yes. Thank you.
There are not many people that would sit down and read a 1,000-page book now.
Not now.
Not now. At some point, maybe. In the future. At some point in the past, yes, definitely. But now, as you are authoring books, we would suggest less information per book with more books.
Okay.
Grasping the attention of those around you, understanding the limited time frames that people give themselves, allow themselves for the sake of reading. Yes?
Yes.
This will help you refine what you choose to put in this book and help you understand that that which is missing can always be added to the next book and 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 the next book.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. May I ask a personal question?
Of course.
Okay.
Are these not all personal questions already?
Oh, yes. But this is near and dear to my heart. So your channel is partnered with a beautiful man. And I have been in the process of healing, and I am looking forward to having that deep spiritual connection with a partner. Not necessarily marriage, but a committed relationship. And I'm just wondering, I have so many questions, but I'll try. What do I need to do to allow this man to show up?
When and where and who will this person be? Yes? Probably sitting right beside your passport, your birth certificate. Slightly out of your peripheral vision, but there. In other words, when the timing is right, and we know that you all love this so much, when the timing is right for you, from a higher perspective level, that person will fall into your awareness, into your vision, and that romance will start. That romance will begin. Right now, understanding that the feeling of it, understanding what it feels like to be in that relationship, but being okay with that just being good enough for now, is what will catapult you into the manifestation of that reality much quicker than asking for it to happen, for longing for it to happen. And we understand that you know all this and you feel that you are doing this for the most part, but there is a part of you that isn't just yet. You are still learning this. As you teach others, you are learning and getting closer and closer to really comprehending and understanding this from a deep energetic level. Being okay with having it or not having it, being in a loving state of your life, of your existence, enjoying those moments when you sit and think and contemplate about that person and what you would be doing with him or her, you will feel a sense of peace in that feeling. And we encourage you to put yourself in that feeling state of it as often and as frequently as you would like to, being okay with it either coming into fruition or not. Does this make sense?
Yes.
We know that this is not necessarily the answer that you are seeking, but it is the one that is what your heart is requesting now. To keep moving forward in this direction of understanding, to keep moving forward with your life in the direction that is feeling good. Yes?
Yes.
Recognizing and loving all the steps that you have taken to come to this place right now. And in this place right now, finding wholeness and happiness in your experience without needing anything else. Yes?
Yes. And that is where I'm at, where I'm perfectly happy being alone. I'm very happy being alone. This is what I teach others. So you just confirming what I've been telling everyone else too. And I'm doing it to the best of my ability, being in that feeling. That's a really good way to express it, in that feeling place of what it feels like to have him now.
Yes.
And being grateful. Mm-hmm.
This will happen. We can give you a little nugget. This will happen. You will not live the remainder of your years without experiencing this and without feeling this loving connection with another. When the timing is perfect for you, this will come into your reality. Speechless, are we? Now that you have it, what are you going to do with it?
I'll say thank you. Thank you.
We would like to take a moment before we depart to send to you our gratitude and our appreciation for working with those around you to the degree that you are, for coming through the trials and tribulations that you've experienced in your own personal life to surpass the limiting possibilities that went along with those experiences, to allow them to catapult you into a heightened state of awareness where you are now able to share with others what you have learned and what you are continuing to learn, being open and honest about that you are still in the learning phase, that you are also teaching. You are also sharing with others what you have learned while still receiving information, while still receiving the teachings that the universe is offering to you. We are immensely grateful for your efforts, for your continued happiness, for your continued determination to make a difference on your planet. We would like to thank you for this opportunity to exchange with you. And we would like to know you to know that we are there supporting you every step of the way. And we look forward to our next opportunity to converse and exchange.
Thank you, Solomon.
Thank you, Solomon.
That was entertaining.
I'm glad I could be of service.
So how was that for you, Jennifer?
Oh, it was good. At one point I was weeping.
Oh, wow. That's powerful.
It was very powerful when I was being thanked for what I'm doing. And you know, I've had channeling experiences in the past, and this, I have to say, was profound. I mean, I felt it. Yeah. And I have to tell you that when Solomon came in, I had myself on mute because I'm sitting here on this sand road that's like a washboard. Tears rolling down my face, by the way. And there were six of these great big cherry picker trucks. Those great big things were coming down the road next to me. And I was watching them going, please hurry up, please hurry up. While you were doing the bowl, like a police trucks go. So when you asked me to ask a question, the last truck was still too close. And so I don't know if you're going to hear that rumbling in the background, that's why I hesitated.
Well, you know, and what I would do is I would sit on that and I would ask myself, what was the significance of that? The number six, the cherry picking trucks. There's a significance to that. I don't know what it is. As Solomon would say, go figure it out.
There's a bank I was sitting on, and I'm like literally in the Mojave Desert, and the sun was setting on my face, and then I'm watching these pink clouds coming up. The sun is down now, but talk about an experience. This was probably the best interview I've ever had.
Oh, well, I'm really glad to hear that. And you know, they're so genuine and so authentic So the fact that you were weeping is like you were receiving that. And
I know.
I love it because it happens to me too. And it just, you just start to weep.
And sometimes when I'm doing written messages for people, One of the options is that we, if the person actually, you know, lives in the area, I'll meet with them and we'll go through it together and I'll read it to them or over the phone or over Skype. And sometimes I'll start crying and it's not even a message for me. And it's just the energy that's coming through. And sometimes I feel silly because and then the person's trying to console me and it's,
right.
But it's the energy that goes along with it.
Yeah, I've experienced that, you know, a few times, and, you know, sometimes just being out here is, you know, I get that phenomenal vibe feeling, you know, that, oh, wow, this was awesome. It was a pleasure. I didn't know you guys were Canadian. I didn't know that you were landscapers. I didn't know any of that stuff. So this was like a match made in heaven.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. And it sounds like the environment you're in right now was in perfect alignment with what you're receiving. So that's pretty interesting too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that one of the things that I'm really passionate about and one of the reasons why we're doing this show in the format that we are is so that you now and everyone else that's listening can go and sit in quiet and find their own connections with their guides, with their loved ones who have passed away, that there's this huge abundance of opportunity that's lying like right in our path. And I think we trip ourselves up by what we talked about in the beginning of the interview with that feeling of self-doubt that I need to go to somebody else to receive a message from my guides and my spirits. But no, you don't. You can find this all on your own. And, you know, it's there. It's available.
Absolutely. And that's a beautiful way to close the program. But we're out of time today. And thank you so much for that, Stephanie. It's so true that we should continue tapping into our own resources through self-empowerment to find our own answers. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Jennifer. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
And thank you to all our listeners out there for tuning in. We look forward to having you back in 2 weeks as we'll speak with another amazing guest. For those of you who'd like to learn more about Stephanie and Solomon, go to our website at stephanie-banks.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at solomonlive.com. Thanks again, everyone, and have an amazing week.